Well, let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this privilege to come into your house today. I thank you for the privilege to be able to minister your word today. And I pray that it would be all of you and none of me, that you would speak through me exactly the words that you've given me and that you've laid upon my heart. And Father, such a timely message. And I pray that you would help us, especially as fathers and mothers, to listen closely to the word that you've shared with us today. And Father, help us to apply it to our lives, that we can raise the kind of families that you would have us to raise, and families where we have children that grow up to be strong, mature Christians and go on to work for you in the ways that you've called them to. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you have kids or grandkids today, this message will be of great interest to you. God has given me a message on raising a G-rated family in an R-rated world. And folks, if you don't think it's R-rated, I mean, open up your eyes and look around. Now, as I was studying for this, I got to thinking back and I found some information on some things back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and 90s. Now, it is amazing how far we have come, isn't it? It's scary how far we've come in just a few years. When I say how far we've come, how far we've regressed, how far we've backslidden in the things that are important. And raising a Christian family has become very difficult in this day and age. And we're going to share some things with you today that God's laid upon our hearts. But I want to go back and just show you through the TV programming over the last 50 years how things have gotten horribly worse. You go back to the 50s and you had shows like Father Knows Best and I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver. And you never, ever, ever heard a cuss word. And the families were strong, mature families, moral families, families that you would call good role models for today. Then we go to the 60s and we have the Dick Van Dyke Show, Family Affair. And of course, for those of you that may not remember that one, that was where the single father was raising two kids with the help of a butler. And then we had the Brady Bunch, which was a blended family. As far as I can remember, that's the first blended family I can recall on TV. And there's nothing wrong with blended families. I just found that interesting. And again, you could have called most of those shows good moral shows. Then we get to the 70s, and you have Happy Days, where the focus is taken off of the family and put on the kids. And again, I understand why they did that with the show, but there's a progression going on here. We also had All in the Family, probably the most dysfunctional family ever on TV. I don't know how it could get much worse than that. Well, yeah, I do too. I'm going to share some of the others with you. In the 80s, we went to The Cosby Show, Full House, which was the three men that were raising a family together, and Kate and Allie, which was two divorced women raising their kids together. Then in the 90s, we had Married with Children, Simpsons, and they call that a cartoon. I don't know how they call something so filthy a cartoon. And Roseanne. Since 2000, we've had Family Guy, another raunchy cartoon, and Two and a Half Men. As you can see, up to somewhere in the mid-80s, you could at least find a remnant of shows that had some morality and some decency to them. But since that time, it's hard to find anything on TV that you can call good TV, let alone something you can call a role model for the family today. Folks, it has gotten horrible. Not only have the shows become R-rated, they have become anti-family. Very much anti-family. And I hope you can see that in the different shows that we have that I named. And that's just a few of them. I mean, there's some horrible ones out there. Wife Swap. What's that all about? How degraded and despicable can we get? I don't watch those shows. I just see the titles, and I don't have to watch any more than that. It's despicable. I read about a lady this past week by the name of Ellen Goodman, and she shows how bad things have gotten, how much they have changed. She wrote in the Boston Globe, "Americans once expected parents to raise their children according with the dominant cultural messages. Today, however, They are expected to raise their children in opposition to the dominant cultural messages. That's how far we have gone down the tube. She goes on to say that parents are considered responsible only if they are successful in the resistance to the things that our culture is throwing at the kids. So folks, we definitely live in an R-rated society, and it's getting increasingly worse every single day. But the question is, how can we as Christians counter the influence of the world on our family? And yes, the world does influence our kids. It influences us as adults if we partake in it. So how do we counter that influence? And when you're trying to raise Christian kids in a society like this, it is a very real and a very present danger that they could go with society. So we have to make sure that we are teaching them and teaching them correctly. Amen. The good news is that the Bible tells us the answer. Of course, the Bible is filled with good wisdom on how to raise kids, but we're going to look at one verse today. I say one verse, one passage. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, the Free Will Baptist a few years ago came up with a concept they called the D6 concept. And I understood the concept, but I could never really get any specifics from them on what they were talking about. Well, Johnny and Jackie just went to a D6 conference, and in a week or two or three, before too long anyway, they're going to be sharing some very specific things that they learned in that conference. But before then, God has laid some very specific things on my heart that go right along with the D6 concept. And if you're wondering why they call it D6, they got it out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it's all about raising our children to become godly Christian, mature Christian. So here's the answer. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to be starting in verse 5. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now let's stop right there a second. If you're going to raise godly Christian kids in this R-rated world, parents, it has to start with you. Did you notice what that said? It said, you, talking about the parent, you shall love the Lord thy God. First of all, we have to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ himself. It says that we are to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. And these words, what words? The words that we have written in the Word of God, which he commanded us, are to be in our heart. They are to be hidden there, and they are to be in there, so the abundance of the heart will be the Word of God. Then when the parents are to that point, verse 7 kicks in. "And then thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, he's saying all through the day. Amen. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Now, folks, God has revealed some things to me through this scripture that I want to share with you today on how to raise G-rated children in an R-rated society. Well, the first thing that we have to do, the first thing that we have to look at, is that the teaching of spirituality and morality must begin in the home, and it must be based upon our personal relationship to God as parents. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how do you ever expect you're going to teach your kids to have one? Amen. You won't. You won't. They may get it some other way, but you won't teach it to them. Hopefully, if you're not doing your job, then they will get it some other way. But as parents, we have a responsibility to God to teach our kids, and it starts with us having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ ourselves. And as parents, there's some very important questions that we need to ask ourselves. First of all, we need to ask ourselves, are my spouse and my children closer to God or further from God because of me? Well, that's a hard question, isn't it? But we need to answer the hard question. We also need to ask ourselves, can my family see that doing God's will is the absolute most important priority in my life. They can see whether it is or whether it isn't, so you need to be answering that. Am I leading my family in Bible study and prayer on a daily basis? Parents, we have some great responsibilities that God has given us, and we need to be paying close attention to it, because this training must start in the home. It must start in the home. Sadly, in a lot of our homes today, either the husband or the wife see the importance of training up their children, but not both parents. Folks, it's hard enough when both parents are working together trying to raise the kids in a spiritual Christian home. It's extremely difficult when one of them isn't cooperating, and sometimes the other one even hinders in that teaching and in that training. But if you're in that situation, the one that does see the need and sees the importance of this and the gravity of teaching your kids, you still have the responsibility. And for those of you that are doing that, I commend you for doing that. Because like I said, it is very difficult. Now, men, let me talk to you for just a second. God has made us the leader of the household. And if you are not being the spiritual leader of your home, then shame on you. I challenge you to tell me what's more important in your home than teaching your kids about the things of God and about the things in His Word. There's nothing more important. One of these days they're going to grow up, they're going to live hopefully a long life, and then they're going to die. At that point, do you think that any of the other things that you thought were important are going to be important? They will not be. And is there anything wrong with those things? There is absolutely nothing wrong with those things. But we have to make sure that we, as men, are taking the head leadership that God has given us and teaching our children in spiritual matters. Amen. And for you wives that from time to time that have to take that leadership and that responsibility, you shouldn't have to, but I applaud you for doing so. And again, men, if we are not doing that, if we're not taking our responsibility, then we need to act like men and we need to lead our families. The second thing that God shared with me that we need to do in raising G-rated children in an R-rated world is that we need to have some strong rules and regulations. It bothers me when I see kids running the house. You say, oh, that would never happen in my house. It happens in a lot of our homes. The kids are running the homes, and that is not good for the kids. It's not good for the home. And they won't grow up with the perspective that they need to have. I read about a study, and this was about 6 years ago, but it's still true today, that indicated that the strongest homes were those where there were very religious conservatives and authoritarian homes. And when I say authoritarian, where the father and the mother were in authority over the children. Bradford Wilcox wrote this in the American Enterprise magazine. He said that he had examined data from the National Survey of Families and Households and discovered that the homes of religiously conservative parents were characterized both by strict discipline and an unusually warm and expressive style of parent-child interaction. He also went on to say that he found that the fathers were more involved with their kids who were the religiously conservative and the strong disciplinarians. They were more involved with their kids than the fathers who were liberal and secular in their training of their kids. Folks, we need to understand children not only need discipline, but they want discipline. I never will forget when Diana and I were doing the youth ministry, we had some kids that were just let go at home, and they were on the wild rampage, and we didn't put up with it. It took us some time, but we slowly but surely disciplined them in different ways. And some of them, in fact, one of them, Carl, well, my mom knows Carl also, he was one of the wildest guys you've ever seen in your life. But when he got older, he told his mom and dad, he said, you know, I really respect Brother Carl or Brother Greg for making me mine. I don't say that to brag on me. I say that to tell you that kids not only need it, but they want discipline. They want discipline. Yes, they're going to challenge you and try you in every way. That's their job, they're kids. Our job is to make sure that they get the discipline that they want and that they need. And we need to abide by that. And yes, sometimes discipline is too strict. But folks, that is so rare. I mean, I hear people pull that up all the time. You're talking about a minor percentage of kids. And I do not stand for it when it's too strict. But in most cases, it's not too strict. It's a great lack of discipline. That's the problem. And I can promise you this, in the long run, parents who discipline their children will be respected by their children more than those that just let their children run wild and run loose. So the rules and the regulations are very important. They are like walls around our family. Our kids need to know what they can and what they cannot do. And when they cross through that wall, they need to know there will be consequences. And I was sharing with somebody here at the church the other night, I forget who, that I only received one whipping from my dad that I can remember. And he made it count. And I tell you, and I remember several from Mom too. For some reason, she whipped me more than he did. And she laughed when she did it, too. I'm not sure what that was about. But anyway, but we had rules and regulations. But even with the rules and regulations, we have to have the influence of Jesus in our home. Just having rules and regulations are good, but we've got to have that influence of Jesus Christ in our home to keep the world out. Well, I want to share with you a great example of what this D6 concept is all about, how to teach and train our kids the way that Deuteronomy chapter 6 told us to. If you remember, it said when you lie down, when you rise up, all through the day, when you're sitting down, all the different places, right? Well, I was at Taco Bell the other day, and I overheard a man talking to his son. His son was probably 11, 12 years old, and apparently his son plays second base on the baseball team. And he was telling his son, okay, let's say that there's only one guy on first base. There's not any other runners on any of the other bases. Where do you need to run or throw the ball if the next hit is hit to you? And he went through that with his son. And he said, okay, well, let's just imagine that there's somebody on first and third, and the ball's hit to you. What do you need to do with the ball then? And he went through a lot of these different scenarios teaching his son that he needs to think ahead and trying to help him to learn the game of baseball so he can become a winner in the game of baseball. And I thought, you know, that's great that father is taking that kind of time to help his son. And you could tell it wasn't just a one-time thing, that they did this on a regular, frequent basis. And then I got to thinking, how would our kids turn out if we, as fathers and mothers, did that on a daily basis concerning spiritual matters? Amen. I don't know whether that man and his son were Christians or not, but if that father took that kind of time and that kind of effort teaching his son about spiritual matters, I can promise you that son's going to grow up to be somebody for Christ. Amen. So, folks, it comes down to this. As parents, if you really want to raise G-rated kids in an R-rated world, then you are going to have to take back the responsibility of training your kids. Amen. For way too long. I want you to hear me, way too long. And when I say way too long, even back when I was growing up, this was kind of the trend back then. We have let the church do the training of our kids in spiritual matters. Shame on us. The church gets the kids maybe 2 hours a week. You've got them multiple hours a day. The church is not designed, the church is not equipped to teach our kids everything they need to know. The church is designed and equipped to assist you in your job, but parents, it is your responsibility to teach your kids in spiritual matters. Amen. It is God's given responsibility that you have. And if it doesn't get done, then you are the one that's responsible. If you remember back over there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I even read the scriptures that said, teach your children diligently. Diligently. Don't just half-heartedly do it. Do it like their life depends on it, because guess what? Their eternal life does depend on it.
Amen.
And all of the other people that they're going to affect throughout their lifetime depends on it. Don't be slothful in your responsibility.
Amen.
That is the key to raising G-rated children. And by the way, let me tell you what G-rated children are. They are godly children. You thought I was just talking about morally decent people, didn't you? Oh, it's deeper than that. We're talking about raising godly children. And the R stands for in a rotten world. And parents, let me throw this in there. We were talking about TV shows earlier. You need to monitor what your kid's watching. If they're watching any of that junk, you need to throw the TV out in the yard and smash it with a sledgehammer. Because your kids are a whole lot more important than that TV set.
Amen.
You need to monitor what they watch. You need to monitor what they do on the computer. There's so much trash, so much filth out there, and we as parents have the responsibility to make sure that our kids are only watching and doing things that are godly. And we can set up some guidelines and some disciplines on them. And I know that you want the very best for your kids. I know you want them to have the very best education and to have the very best career that they can possibly have. And I know you want them to meet a good person and to marry that person and to raise a family. But folks, if they don't have Jesus Christ in their lives, it's all in vain. Jesus put it as plain as it could be put. In Mark chapter 8, he said, for what shall it profit a man, or his children, or his grandchildren, or his great-grandchildren, if they shall gain the whole world and lose their souls? So what if you teach them about great things in sports or great things in education? Again, all those are important, but those are not nearly as important as the spiritual aspects of life. So what if they become successful in all those things and they die and split hell wide open? You've not been a successful parent. Even if they are a Christian, but they don't achieve what God wants them to achieve in their spiritual life, you still are not a successful parent. But God has told us exactly how to be successful in this. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's hard. But we can do it. You can do it. First and foremost, you've got to set the example for your kids. They need to see that Jesus Christ is a major part of your life. They need to see you studying the Bible. They need to hear you praying. They need to see you living out what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
That's where they're going to learn most of it. You need to teach them the Word of God on a daily basis. And it doesn't have to be anything complicated. Go to Taco Bell and sit down with them and say, let's talk about your Sunday school lesson. What was your scriptures this week? What did you learn from that? What can we pull out of that? What did the writer mean when he said that? Don't make it complicated. It's you teaching your child on a very informal, casual basis. Make sure you pray with your children. And don't just pray with them. They need to hear you pray for them. They need to hear that you are concerned about their everyday life and that you're concerned about the things that they face at school and that they're confronted with at school. They need to know that you really care enough that you will pray for them. And if you pray for them when you're with them, they're going to know, hey, Mom and Dad's praying with me when I'm not there too.
Amen.
And then take your kids to church. Let the church assist you in training them. Again, it's your responsibility, but the church is here and the church is equipped and ready to help you and to assist you. And I was thinking about this when I was sitting up here earlier. We've got a lot of ways of helping our parents. We have Sunday school, we have children's church downstairs, we have CTS, we have the Wednesday night program, we've got youth camp, vacation Bible school, we've got all of these things to to assist you. Let us help you. But we can't help you if your kids aren't here and if you're not doing what you need to do. And then last of all, you need to impress upon your children that their relationship with Jesus Christ is the absolute most important thing in their life. Again, let them know baseball and football and all the sports are important. Let them know that schoolwork is important. Let them know that all these other things are important, but make sure they understand that their relationship with Jesus Christ is the top priority, period, in their life. Because it will make a difference in their life. And in their kids' life. And in their kids' life. I heard the other day that one godly person training their kid right, in fact, it was Brother Johnny who was telling me this, goes 6 or 7 different generations, and it's up in the hundreds or thousands of people that it influences and affects just in their family. If you have a family that has 3 kids, I believe it was, and that goes on for seven generations, it's up in the hundreds of thousands of people in that family. Folks, this is way more important than just your kid, and even if it was just your kid, that's important. If you look at the long-range impact of this, it's mind-boggling. And I think that's why God stressed it so strongly in Deuteronomy. Diligently teach them. Live like you're supposed to, then diligently teach your kids day and night. And if you notice, he said to put it between your eyes, hang it around your neck, put it everywhere you can possibly get it because it's that important. I'm going to ask Marlene if she and Bill would come with a song of invitation to ask you. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you so much that in your word you took time to teach us as parents and grandparents how to raise godly children and even how to raise them in a rotten world like we live in today. Father, that doesn't matter as long as we're being the influence that we need to be upon them. We look all through the Bible and we see that there were parents that raised kids in some of the worst situations, and they raised them to be godly people. Moses' mother, even though she was in enemy territory and wasn't even supposed to have Moses as a son, she taught him the principles of God, and he ended up leading the entire nation out of bondage and to the promised land. God, help us to see this morning how urgent this is and how important this is, and to see the gravity and the responsibility that you've given us as parents and grandparents. And help us to understand, Father, that it's also got great rewards. When we see our kids grow up to be strong, mature Christians that are giving their life for you and working for you, then we can take great pleasure in knowing that we've done a good job. And we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.